Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning into Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that is solely dedicated to the multifamily industry. I'm your host, Paul Marks, and we have a great show with a wonderful guest who is an expert on today's topic. And today we are discussing the topic of the challenges of managing affordable housing communities. Joining me by phone is longtime multifamily industry veteran Joni Frieden, regional property supervisor with Apartment Management Professionals in Austin, Texas. Welcome, Joni.
Hi, thank you.
So let's qualify two things. Number one, specifically, what is your definition of affordable housing? And then I know that Apartment Management Professionals, the company that you're affiliated with, kind of concentrates in one area of multifamily housing. Let's talk a little bit about those two things.
Okay. Affordable housing is there are various programs that are designed to serve the needs of, in my particular situation, to serve the needs of people that maybe make a little bit too much money to afford or to qualify for free housing or completely subsidized housing, up to, you know, the space that does, that makes too much money to afford certain benefits and not enough money to actually keep up with the cost of living, especially in a city like Austin, where apartments are just, you know, more and more expensive, homes are more and more expensive, and that gap for people that in the median income or middle income is getting smaller and smaller. And what we actually do is we go into a property when we take over management of a property, and we turn it into what's called a 5180 program, where we reserve 51% of the units for folks who make 80% or less of the area median income. So what our intention is to do here is to, first of all, to provide a really nice community that's affordable for people, but also to maintain those affordable rates so that as, you know, conventional properties are, you know, giving $100 increases on a renewal, we're trying to stay closer to the $20 mark and, you know, try and keep people able to stay in nice neighborhoods with nice amenities and be able to afford that.
And so I would imagine from market to market, what that number relates to on the 80% is going to be different. What is it like up in Austin?
Well, the area median income in Austin right now is over $95,000. Mm-hmm. So it's you know, even at 80% of that, you're still looking at what I consider a really decent income. You know, and we're serving people that are at the 60 to 80% of that median income.
And so people who would qualify for the other types of affordable housing, tax credit or subsidized, would mm-hmm. probably be earning less, much less than
much less than that. They're yeah. probably at the, you know, 30 to 50%.
Yeah, and so challenges in regards to running that type of property. First of all, I've been to your properties. I know that they're very nice properties. It's not by any means anything that I think someone would initially think an affordable housing property would look like. So you've got conventional residents that are there that are paying market rate, and then you've got your affordable group there. What if any challenges do you have when you're dealing with both of those at the same time?
You know, one of the challenges I think right off the bat is we want to make sure that, you know, we've got people from all demographics living in the communities, and we've got people, for example, that maybe are making $200,000 a year, and then somebody else is making closer to, you know, $50,000 or $30,000 a year. We want to make sure that although they're both living at XYZ property and they're both living in a, you know, 1,200 square foot two-bedroom apartment, we're trying to create a difference so that that $200,000 income person isn't paying the same amount of rent as somebody that you know, makes substantially more and can't afford the, you know, the same things as that $200,000 person can make. So we do run into a few challenges just in trying to explain the program and help people understand why, you know, why it is that we're doing what we're doing. And you know, one of the challenges when we get over that 49% of, you know, the people that are at the conventional, sometimes I've got to turn people away because I don't have any more spaces in that 49% for them. So that's, you know, definitely in this market, that's definitely been a challenge. You know, we're on wait lists at most of our properties. So, you know, sometimes, you know, we're, it's just a matter of somebody, you know, they may have a voucher, they may, or they may qualify for the 51%, but they've got to wait for a space to come available.
Do you ever have wait lists on the conventional side? Or
we have wait lists, yeah, on both sides. Just, that, you know, the market in Austin is so tight right now. Occupancies are so high. And, you know, our rents are significantly, you know, lower than some of the brand new properties. You know, so as a result, we definitely have waiting lists, I think, at just about every one of our locations.
Yeah, and so in other words, if you had a, for the sake of easy math, if you had a 100-unit property, you're going to dedicate 51 of those units for the affordable resident, and you're going to dedicate 49 units for the conventional resident. And and basically, if you have vacancies in either one, those are the ones you're pulling off the wait list for.
Right.
Yeah. And so when you, as far as your affordable side, I'm assuming that on your conventional side that you are marketing to potential and prospective residents the typical ways that people do. From an affordable side, how do you get the message out there that you have this program and that you are, you know, you do potentially have units that would be of interest to them?
So there's a couple of different ways. One area is that we can advertise our communities on the Housing Authority City of Austin website. There's people that are constantly, you know, coming into the city or maybe just becoming a voucher holder or just realizing that they can qualify for some of these affordable programs, even though maybe they don't have a voucher or they don't have, you know, any kind of subsidy from the Housing Authority. There's also a website called Go Section 8, and we advertise on there in hopes, you know, hopefully we'll get people that way. The other thing is just really word of mouth. When we come into a property, it's a little bit of a balancing act, if you will, to try and explain to people that we're not what they think of when they think of traditional affordable housing. I think a lot of people think of, you know, project living and that kind of thing, and it's absolutely not what we're about. So it's really kind of getting that message out. But once we start to explain to the residents and people just in the community in general what our program is and what our program looks like and the fact that, you know, we are contractually obligated to maintain these properties and not be slumlords, and we're constantly putting back into the property to improve the asset and to improve the, you know, the quality of living for the residents. So it's once people see that, word of mouth is probably our best means of getting the attention of people that would, you know, potentially qualify for the affordable piece.
So when you take over a property or when someone develops a property, what point do you designate that this property is going to be a 5180?
Well, we do it, you know, in the due diligence program. When we're looking at the property, and the due diligence means that we're actually going on to the property and we're inspecting, not only are we inspecting all the units themselves, but we're also inspecting all the lease files. And we get a chance at that time to take a look at the profile and say, could we make this program work here? Are there enough people that would qualify and fall within, you know, this income range? And then once, you know, we've established that, then we move forward and you know, present the plan to turn the property into a 5180 program.
And when you present the plan, are you presenting it to some authorities in the government who have to provide vouchers and things like that?
Well, we work directly with the Housing Authority in the City of Austin, mm-hmm. which is HACA, or Austin Affordable Housing Corporation, and they kind of take care of all of the legalities that go with creating the 5180 program and you know, they help us set that up, and then we manage it for them.
I got you. Okay, so that makes sense. I mean, obviously, that's something that they have the expertise in.
Right.
And it does take expertise, I would think, to be able to make sure that all the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted when it comes to that.
Right.
Real quick, we got about 30 seconds before we're going to break. As far as affordable in Austin in general, and I know it around the country, it seems like there's a shortage. Are you seeing that in Austin too?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, we've talked a little bit about the voucher program, and vouchers are, it's a program that when people qualify based on their income and based on their need, they can receive a portion of the rent be paid via about a voucher, so that voucher is paid to the apartment community each month on their behalf. They opened up vouchers again, if I'm not mistaken, about a year ago, maybe about a year and a half ago, actually, the last time. And if they had, you know, a few thousand vouchers to give out, they maybe had 60 or 70,000 people there. And it's like a lottery situation. Mm-hmm. So there's that, you know, that many people that are there in need, and only a tiny, tiny portion of them, you know, they're able to serve. So yes, there's an increasing, especially as the cost of living increases in Austin. Austin, you know, we're now the highest rents in the state. Didn't used to be that way. We used to follow, you know, definitely Dallas and Houston for sure. And now, you know, we're leading the pack. So there are, you know, fewer and fewer, options for people that, you know, again, are making 80% or less of the area median income. And that's a huge number of our population. We've got a ton of people, you know, in the service industry or school teachers, law enforcement, military. You know, these are the people that we're trying to serve.
Wow. Okay. Well, we are going to take a break and be back after these short messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Well, we are back and you're listening to Multifamily Matters, and today we are discussing the topic of the challenges of managing affordable housing communities. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone is longtime multifamily industry veteran Joni Frieden, regional property supervisor with Apartment Management Professionals in Austin, Texas. Before we jump back into the conversation, I do want to let our listeners know that if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or just listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. So, Joni, one of the things that when I talk to people who are heavily involved in into the affordable housing arena that they have to deal with is compliance. And I know you mentioned to me and during the break that when it comes to compliance, your situation's a little bit different. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, sure. Our situation is a little bit different. Most of my portfolio, it's a self-imposed 5180 program. Basically, what that means is that we're not subject to some of the same stringent monitoring requirements that some of the other programs are. However, having said that, we've got to make sure that our paperwork is all, immaculate and I's are dotted and T's are crossed. And essentially what we're doing is we're certifying folks when they come and move in, in making sure by way of their, employment records and their credit records and that sort of thing, that they qualify income on an income need basis to be a part of the program. And then each year when their leases come up for renewal, they're recertified so that if people have a change in maybe employment or they get a roommate or the household income changes or looks a little bit different, we recertify and verify that every time their lease is up for renewal so that we can make sure that the people that are in the program and that are benefiting from the program truly have the need and want to be in the program.
So what is the difference, for the benefit of our listeners, in the self-imposed versus just imposed when it comes to...
It's probably just, just the monitoring and the reporting. We've still got to do, it's a form called a tenant income certification. We still use the same paperwork and we use the same forms. Ours, it's just we don't have an annual audit every year and that sort of thing. So we're auditing our own records and we're making sure that we're, on a monthly basis, we make sure that we've got our numbers exactly where they need to be. And that, that the folks that are being able to participate in the program are really in need of participating in the program. So, it's essentially the same paperwork. It's just that ours isn't, there's not a third party coming to monitor it.
I got you. So it's really a non-monitored environment. You're doing the same thing. It's just not being monitored by any third party. Okay.
Right.
And I know in a lot of affordable properties that there are certain services that either are required to be offered to the residents or that people offer to the residents because of the need. Tell us a little bit about
ours. Are services that we're not required to offer, but that we want to offer. We want to improve the quality of life for these folks that are living there. So what we've done is we use a third party surveying company, as part of their survey, they send out an annual survey and that asks the residents what kinds of services and what kinds of things are they looking for at the community. Whether it be, do they want us to bring in somebody that could help them with budget issues or to help them with long-term financial goals and planning, first-time home purchases, nutrition, tutoring for kids after school. Bringing fresh fruits and vegetables in on a weekly basis that they can purchase, almost like their own farmer's market at the property. Just different things that are essentially geared around health and, health and wellness, education, and just really kind of things geared towards family and, children and raising children and feeding children and that kind of thing.
So you use a third-party company to help survey residents, and then the results come back in. Were there any surprises?
One of the biggest surprises, I think, is, we offered things like, would they want us to bring, mobile immunizations or medical care or, that sort of thing. And the biggest interest seemed to be around nutrition and, nutrition and cooking and planning, menu planning and things like that. So it was interesting that in my mind, I would have thought that the biggest numbers would have been into, financial planning or budgeting or even the medical aspect, but it was all surrounding food and nutrition.
And so when you get a result like that, what's the next step? What do you try to do?
So we kind of try to take a look and say, like, well, I mean, what kind of programs could we bring in here? And I think just in talking with the residents, one of the things we realized is that people are really looking for help on nutrition. And, you know, I think people are looking at you know, today, what do today's kids, for example, look like versus what, you know, what they look like 20, 30 years ago. And it's a pretty different picture.
Yeah.
We were more active. We were less in front of our TV or in front of our, you know, computer or in front of our telephone than we are now. And there was fewer convenience type foods or fast foods, if you will. So what we've been doing with that is looking at, okay, you know, are there nutritionists that we can bring in or services that we can bring in that help somebody plan, first of all, how to feed your family and feed them well on a budget, and what those, you know, what nutrition should look like for, you know, young people, old people, and, you know, kind of trying to help them with that. And so what we're doing is looking at a couple of different services and having them come into the communities and visit with the, you know, the residents, and then kind of, you know, taking it from there to see what, you know, what more they want beyond just, you know, bringing somebody in to help them. Do they want regular classes? Do they want cooking classes? That kind of thing.
Now, when you look for those types of people to come in and help, is it typically a government agency type of situation, or is it more of a independent a business that can come in and do this?
You know, it's a little bit of both. There's a program that comes out of A&M that we're looking at. Then there's also, you know, just I've just been looking at some of the different kind of nutrition schools, and there's a Institute for Integrative Nutrition that certifies people to be a health coach. And so then we can, you know, kind of reach out to those kind of organizations to say, in the Austin area, who do you have that, you know, might be available to, you know, for hire? And then we kind of just go with that person and try to work out something individually and have them sort of walk us through what their vision of a plan might look like, and then see how we can apply that with our residents.
So let's just take one facet of what we've talked about, where it's meal planning, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you do? What would it look like as far as if you were going to implement a plan to help your residents with meal planning? Would you offer a series of classes or individual one-on-one help with somebody? What typically do you think would happen?
You know, I think what we'd probably do is start small and start with something in our, you know, in our club room, which, by the way, we get great attendance from all of our residents and in these activities and different things that we do. So we'd bring somebody in, or maybe a team of people in, and let the residents kind of come in and let the residents tell them what they're looking for. Are they looking for just nutrition and good nutrition advice? Or are they looking for, you know, how to feed a family of four on a budget, or, you know, what sort of things would be most beneficial to them, and then kind of gearing the program specifically for that individual.
Is when you do that, do you feel like you're getting buy-in and participation from both types of residents? Are you only offering it to the affordable?
No, we offer it to everybody. And, you know, it's interesting, as you do, you get, you know, we get buy-in and participation from all sides.
Yeah, and because everybody could use a little help with all those different topics that your survey showed. It's not just...
Absolutely.
And I guess when you're surveying your entire cross-section of your...
The entire community, yeah. The way we do it is we send out a survey, just kind of a touch point or feel good, like, you know, how's it going? Let us know, what can we do to improve? What are we doing great? What are we doing not so great? What kinds of services would you be interested in? And then we also survey them every time a work order's been closed out, or right after somebody moves in, or, you know, halfway through their lease. So we're constantly trying to find out, again, are there things you're looking for in this community, whether, you know, be affordable or conventional? Are you looking for things that would be real easy for us to offer, or, you know, maybe not so easy, but just, are there things out there that we're missing? Like, what more can we do to make this more of a community and make this more of a home and make this something that works, you know, for the long term for everyone?
Sure, and I want to talk about a little bit of that in our next segment, but we do have to take a break. We're going to be back after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Tired of being burned by your carpet vendor? Nobody has you covered like Rasa Floors. They lead the industry with same-day service and cutting-edge technology, like their online ordering portal and mobile app, so you can place orders instantly. The professionals at Rasa Floors are the industry experts offering the hottest new styles of carpet and hard surfaces that will help you achieve your goals. Visit them on social media, watch their videos, and look for them at local trade shows. Rasa Floors will help you make ready your apartment homes for new residents. For more information, visit rasafloors.com.
Looking for cost savings and curb appeal? Call WaterLogic, the nation's specialist in multifamily property water management. Using interactive, smart water technology, WaterLogic's professionals can help you save up to 40% on irrigation water annually, potentially adding tens of thousands of dollars back into your budget. Call WaterLogic at 713-983-9555 for a no-cost irrigation usage analysis. Your property will look great, and you'll be a hometown hero.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Well, we're back and you're listening to Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the topic of the challenges of managing affordable housing communities. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone is longtime multifamily industry veteran Joni Frieden, regional property supervisor with Apartment Management Professionals in Austin, Texas. I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. EconServe, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. Rasa Floors, the professional flooring advisor specializing in make-ready replacement flooring for the multifamily industry throughout Texas and Oklahoma. Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. WaterLogic, the smarter way to water, providing professional irrigation water management. And CTS, complete technology solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. So, Joni, we kind of closed out the segment when you were talking about the need to create a sense of community at the properties. There are certain ways that different people do that, and I'm sure that when you have a mix of affordable and conventional, some people on vouchers, some people not, that there's different needs than on a strictly conventional or strictly affordable properties. But it's, you know, one of the big wraps that the apartment industry has had for years is that you don't know your neighbors. You don't have any sense of neighborly or neighborhood like you would if you lived in a single family development somewhere. Talk a little bit about how you see that and some of the things that you're doing to try and create that sense of community.
Right. One of the biggest things that we do when we go into a property is we hire a team that we like to call them by their old name, just because it sounds better. Yeah. But we hire CARES teams, and what that looks like is it's typically a couple, and they live on site, and they're available to our residents in ways that the on site personnel really doesn't have the time to do or as much of an opportunity to do. What they do is they, first of all, organize resident events, and they can be, a few events per month. They might do one that's geared towards kids, depending on, you know, what your property looks like. If you've got a lot of kids living at the property, then they're definitely going to zero in on that demographic. And then they'll, you know, try to do something for, you know, adults or, you know, some of the older residents, that sort of thing. But anyway, what they're doing is they're just really building that sense of community. They bring the residents together. Maybe it's for, you know, to share a meal. Maybe they're doing a craft. Maybe they're doing some sort of a service, you know, for the community. So it's in our experience just been one of the best programs and one of the best ways to get all of our residents feeling like they're part of a community and actually participating in that community. We have just a tremendous response to the different events and things that the care team provides. So that's been just a great, great program for us. And in addition to that, they visit with all of our residents once they move in and introduce them and talk about the different gatherings and programs and things that they offer. They bring them gifts. They respond to residents when maybe they've had a death in the family or they've lost a pet or, you know, any kind of, you know, traumatic or tragic event like that as well. So that has been probably our number one way of really focusing on creating that sense of community.
You know, and you mentioned that you like to call them by their own old names for the benefit of our listeners. They've kind of switched names from CARES team to Apartment Life now.
Right.
And they've actually been on our show before. I find their business model to be very unique and valuable and to the industry. And what you're saying about how you use them is exactly what I've heard other clients say. And I think it's important to know that they're a nonprofit organization, and they're really there on the property to create a sense of community and to be neighborly. A lot of management companies that are out there think, well, I've got an on-site team to do that, but they're concentrating so much on the reports they have to do and making sure that the project released and fixing work orders that they seemingly don't have time to be able to keep up with that. And it does take time. And one of the other things that I've heard some of their Apartment Life clients tell me, and I don't know if you've experienced this, is that the residents, if they're having a problem or an issue, many times they'll tell the CARES team before they'll tell the on-site management team. So the CARES team is then able to communicate that. If, for instance, if someone was thinking about, well, I'm not happy with certain things on the property, I want to move, they've got an opportunity to go in there and fix it and save that and not end up having to turn over that lease. Have you found that to be true?
Absolutely. We find that to be one of the most valuable aspects of the program is that they do that visit maybe halfway through the lease term or, you know, 3 months or so before someone's lease is getting ready to expire. And they'll kind of go and, you know, they'll visit with the resident. It's not the first time that they've met the resident, so the resident feels comfortable with them, is familiar with them, and they can share anything that they might be unhappy with, or they might, you know, maybe they're having a problem with their neighbors playing loud music and they like their neighbors, so they haven't called and turned it in or anything like that. Just they're helping us to understand things that we might not otherwise know, either because things happen after the office is closed or, you know, just things that we're not aware of in the office. And it really helps us to kind of see the property with a different set of eyes and definitely save renewals, saves residents from moving, which, you know, obviously is great for everybody. It's great for the resident because they don't have to go to the trouble and the expense and the, you know, kind of the uneasiness of moving, but great for the apartment owner just to maintain that unit and keep somebody living in there so we don't have to suffer the vacancy loss or the make ready expense or the marketing expense, that kind of thing. So definitely been a great program for us.
And just a couple of other things before we jump to something else about Apartment Life is I know that on more traditional affordable housing, where there's really not an opportunity to put a team to live on site, I know that they offer where they can bring people in to do programs and so forth. It's still beneficial because it keeps the management team from having to worry about meeting all those requirements. They take care of that. But there is a benefit when you can have that team living on site. They're part of that neighborhood. And I would probably imagine that up in the Austin area, you're dealing with Keith Burris with Apartment Life, who's a great guy and has been doing it for a long time. And, of course, in Houston, and we've had him on the show before, is Peter Remus, who is the regional vice president for CARES team for Apartment Life in the Houston area. And any of our listeners are interested, get in contact with them. I think you can't go wrong with at least hearing what they say. And by the way, I don't think, and you would know this, Joni, I don't think their program is necessarily expensive.
You know, it's not necessarily expensive. Essentially what you do is you give them an apartment. So the value of, you know, if you've got a $1,200 apartment, mm-hmm. But out of that, you know, you're getting this team that's there essentially 24/7. They're always available to the residents. And, you know, again, they're living right there on site. So their eyes are there on site 24/7. And after hours, when maybe you're, you know, you might not have anybody from the management team that's actually living at the property. So that's a huge benefit as well. And then, you know, you're going to spend the same amount of money doing your own resident activities or having them do their resident activities in theirs. You know, in my opinion, just seem to be a little bit better executed because it's what they do.
Yeah, it's what they do every day.
Right.
And they've got, I think they're over on over 500 properties around the country and even up in Canada now. So
I would believe that.
So they do a lot of sharing of ideas of what's been successful on properties so that so that their teams all over the country and in Canada can take advantage of the successes that they've had at certain properties.
Right.
That's great. I know you mentioned to me at one time when you had them that you weren't able to get a team on a certain property because of the budget, but you were able to work something out to where they were able to share teams.
Yeah, so if you've got properties, you know, that are close in close proximity to one another, that's also an option, is to share a team. You know, and they'll maybe live at one property and then do events at, you know, at both properties, but one absorbs the cost of the maybe the apartment or part of the apartment, and the other absorbs the cost of the activities, yet you combine, you know, your team. So we've been able to do that and kind of get creative, you know, in those areas where you maybe budget doesn't allow for the CARES team initially. But I think once owners see what that CARES team actually does and what their efforts turn into in terms of dollars, like, you know, reduced vacancy loss and reduced marketing expenses and reduced turnover costs because your renewals, your retention rate is higher, I think that you know, the program starts to pay for itself.
Yeah, and it all adds to the NOI and ultimately to the property value itself.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take a break. We're going to be back after these messages with our last segment of this episode. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Tired of being burned by your carpet vendor? Nobody has you covered like Rasa Floors. They lead the industry with same-day service and cutting-edge technology, like their online ordering portal and mobile app, so you can place orders instantly. The professionals at Rasa Floors are the industry experts offering the hottest new styles of carpet and hard surfaces that will help you achieve your goals. Visit them on social media, watch their videos, and look for them at local trade shows. Rasa Floors will help you make ready your apartment homes for new residents. For more information, visit rasafloors.com.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Well, we're back with our final segment of Multifamily Matters, and today we're discussing the topic of the challenges of managing affordable housing communities. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me by phone is longtime multifamily industry veteran Joni Frieden, regional property supervisor with Apartment Management Professionals in Austin, Texas. So, you know, Joni, you've got a lot of experience with the 5180 program, the 51% affordable, 49% conventional. What are some of the things that if you could advise any of our listeners about setting something like that up, what are some of the pitfalls, the things that you've learned that you could help other people to avoid or to be able to be more successful at it?
I think potentially some of the pitfalls are just compliance related. You want to make sure that you're constantly monitoring. It seems like it would be real easy once you've, again, to use your 100-unit community if you've got 51 units set aside. You need to constantly be managing that list and make sure that you don't fall out of compliance. So, you know, what we like to do is we like to have a cushion. So if, you know, 51 apartments gets us there, we might want to do 55 apartments in the event that you have to do an eviction or you have a skip or you have, you know, a unit come vacant. You want to be able to take one from your 49% and move it right over. So that's definitely, you know, one of the kind of trickiest things, I think, is just maintaining your compliance and staying on top of it.
So you basically have to be at 51% all the time. So if you lease a few more than the 51 in that example to affordable, if you have one drop off, you're saying you're still in compliance.
Right.
Yeah. And how effective are the waiting lists? You know, I went to a property not too long ago and was talking with the manager of, it was actually an affordable senior property, and yeah, they're 100% occupied. And I said, how long of a waiting list do you have? And she said, 2 years. And I said,
yeah.
I said, well, really, there's no such thing as a 2-year waiting list because people are going to find another place to live before time. She goes, I know that's right, but that's if we had to lease based on our turnovers, that's, you know, that's how long it would be. So, how effective are the waiting lists, or do you get enough vacancies where you can run through them pretty quick?
You know, it just really depends on the property, but the waiting lists are pretty effective. Like, you know, just in some of the smaller communities that we have where we're always full. You know, I had a reason to call a few of them yesterday and find out what they had coming available before February, and nobody had anything because the ones that were coming available, then they immediately start working that list, and they'll, you know, call the first person on the list, and you just keep working down it until you've filled that vacancy. But that might sound like it's a long process, but it's really not. Like, they're filled almost instantly.
Wow. I mean, that's what happens when you've got a shortage and you're underbuilt for and underdeveloped for that demographic.
Right.
So when you're dealing with a demographic from an affordable standpoint, I mean, what I'm kind of picking up is that because of your situation with the 5180 and the median income in Austin, it may not be a typical affordable demographic that we see on a lot of strictly affordable tax credit type properties. Is that the case?
I mean, to some extent, I would definitely say that. You know, our demographics look a little bit different from property to property, but generally what we try to do is go into what we consider high opportunity areas. So it's an area maybe where there are blue ribbon elementary schools, and, you know, we've got 3 communities in Austin in the local schools, the only international baccalaureate program of any Austin Independent School District high school is in this one particular neighborhood where we've got 3 communities. It's also got 2 blue ribbon elementary schools that feed to these communities. So the interesting piece for us about that is that we're hoping to be able to attract families that couldn't otherwise afford to get into that particular neighborhood and be able to enjoy the amenities and the schools and so on of that neighborhood.
So you've got an opportunity for whatever the number of available apartments would be for families to be able to do that. And what is the mix really on some of your properties as far as are they pretty much all family-oriented properties, or are they – because Austin has University of Texas and other universities there.
Is it, you know, it just really depends kind of on the location and then what that unit mix looks like. If it's a property that's, you know, heavily – populated with one bedrooms, you probably aren't going to have as many families as you would on a community that has two and three bedrooms.
Yeah.
So we've kind of got a great sort of balance of all. You know, ideally, I think our kind of soft spot is to find communities that have the two and three bedrooms so that we can find opportunities for families to live in neighborhoods or locations that they otherwise might not be able to afford or be priced out of. You know, in this crazy economy of Austin right now.
Well, you know, you had mentioned earlier in the show that, you know, when you do due diligence and you're looking, you try to determine if the property would fit that 5180 program. If it was an unlimited number of properties out there that you could do due diligence on, and is there any limits to the number of 5180 programs? I know in certain affordable situations that they only allow development of new properties, which I guess are tax credit properties. You know, only in a certain market, they only allow a certain number of properties to be built. Is there any limits on when a property can become a 5180 as long as it meets requirements?
You know, I don't know the answer to that, to tell you the truth. I don't believe that there are any you know, limits to what we do, but I don't know the answer
sure.
to that.
Well, I mean, obviously the need is there. If it would seem like it would be advantageous to make as many opportunities available as you can for that demographic.
Right.
So in the last segment, last part of this segment, I always ask our listeners, I mean, our guests, to tell our listeners how they got into this industry. And you know, where they came from, and it's a lot of the stories are very common, but you know, meaning that people didn't ever intend to get in the industry, they happened onto it and they stuck with it. You know, 30 years later, they're still in the industry. Whatever.
Yeah, that's pretty much my story.
Well, tell our listeners.
I actually worked in Dallas for the Trammell Crow Company years and years ago in the accounting department after I finished school and moved here from New York, and hated it, just hated it. So I begged another regional manager to let me go out on site, and she told me I'd have to take a pay cut to do it, and I didn't even care. So I went out on site and started leasing apartments and just worked my way up through the various positions, and you know, then had an opportunity about, 17, 18 years ago, to start a utility billing company with my husband. So we created a company and actually built our very first property using an Excel spreadsheet. So that company came a long way. We ended up selling that in 2010, and here I am back on the other side. So I jumped over to the vendor side for a little bit and went back over to the management side. But yeah, been doing this certainly about two or three decades longer than I thought I would, but here we are.
And you ended up somehow getting from Dallas to Austin.
Yes. Transferred with that first property management company. That was my first manager's job. I transferred as an assistant manager to a manager's position in Austin, and that was in 1988.
Wow. You've been in Austin for that long. You've seen a lot of changes.
Seen a lot of changes here.
A lot of traffic changes, too.
Yeah, for sure.
So tell us a little bit, and let our listeners know a little bit about apartment management professionals, and specifically how y'all got into the business, and what you specialize in, and also if someone wanted to get in touch with you to either ask you questions about what we talked about or possibly creating a relationship with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Our management company has been around for about 15 years. Our owner actually had an opportunity to manage his first property for the Housing Authority, City of Austin or HACA, and did that, managing the first property, which is Venturi Apartments, and then it's just grown our portfolio. We manage 14 communities now for HACA.
And as far as growth, are you looking to grow with the?
Yeah, we definitely. We've since I've been with the company, which is about a year and a half, we've grown from 10 properties to 14. So we're, you know, definitely a lot's happened in the last 12 to 18 months. And we hope the growth continues.
Yeah, so someone wanted...
Definitely a need for affordable housing.
And if somebody wanted to get in touch with you, what are... I'm assuming you're looking for, always looking for good employees.
Yes.
I'm assuming you're looking for potential owners to talk with about managing properties. How could they get in touch with you?
Absolutely. And they can either visit our website, and you can apply directly through our website, and that is www.amptexas.com, and then you know, you can reach any of us through the website as well.
Yeah, and I can vouch for the fact I've been to the properties. They're beautiful properties. They're not what you would typically think of having an affordable component to them just by driving through them. And everyone that I've talked to on your sites has been professional, nice, and very accommodating. So that speaks a lot to the culture of the company.
Well, that is great to hear. And we, you know, we've got some really long-term employees. It's a great, great company to work for. We work for some great people. So hopefully that will all continue with the long-term employees. But I think once people start with AMP, it's very rarely do they leave. They just kind of work up through the various positions and, enjoy each other and enjoy the people that we work with.
Great. Well, Joni, thank you so much for being
Absolutely.
On the show today. I'm going to definitely want to have you back. And I know you get to Houston from time to time, and love to have you in the studio where we can do this, right with you in the studio in front of the microphone. So
thank you, but
thank you for calling in.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We were going to be back next week with another great topic and a power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.